My name is Jay Gallagher. I'm the Capitol Bureau Chief for Gannett News Service. We don't have nearly enough Kumbaya days, but maybe that'll all change on day one. I guess we'll find out. The first panel this morning was framed as a look back at what transpired and what was accomplished in the wake of federal welfare reform. Our next panel looks ahead, posing the question, what's next for welfare in New York? To create a context for the discussion, our panel keynote is Lawrence Mead, professor of politics at New York University. Larry Mead also has been a visiting professor at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs. He's the author of 8 books, including Government Matters, Welfare Reform in Wisconsin, Lifting Up the Poor, Welfare to Work, and The New Politics of Poverty. Professor Mead.
Well, thanks very much. It's a real pleasure to be here. As we've heard, New York State has not in the past been at the forefront of welfare reform, but it has been at the frontier of research on welfare reform. The first studies that I did arguing for a work requirement in welfare, I did in New York, in New York City and New York State, and I traveled around various counties. And later, when I was doing my book on welfare reform in Wisconsin, as you'll see later, I have some comparisons with other states. And those were based heavily on case studies done at the Rockefeller Institute of Government here in Albany. And I, in fact, came up here and researched those materials. So my debt to Dick Nathan and Tom Gaze and their entire team is very considerable. What we're going to look at now is how New York might well become the frontier of welfare reform as things go forward. That's right. This is just a summary of what you've already heard. Nationally, welfare reform has meant tougher requirements on the recipients, meaning particularly work tests, more requirements that they participate in activities, and also that they move from an education focus, as we had in earlier law, to a work-first focus. Sanctions, states were allowed to move to a full family sanction where cases were closed if there was noncompliance with the work test. Majority of states have, in fact, full family sanctions. We have the 5-year time limit, and it's fair to say that all of these steps, in ways we've already heard about, are supported by experience and research. These were rational things to do based upon what we knew about how to reform welfare. At the same time, government has spent a great deal more on benefits to support work, and therefore welfare reform is not aimed really at saving money, but rather at making the system work more effectively. These benefits particularly include child and health care and wage subsidies. The combination has led to higher work levels for single mothers, and that in turn has led to a very sharp caseload fall and reductions in poverty. Now, there are also limitations to reform. The fact that it didn't really address the problem of low-income men, wage levels, off welfare. There are a number of challenges that we face in the future. But nevertheless, this is a clear-cut step forward. Now, in New York, we have a similar situation where the state has seen a very dramatic fall in the caseload of around 60% over this period. I'm including in the caseload here the single state, the separate state program. Not just TANF, but the 60-month safety net program as well. A large drop, and also drops in child poverty. New York City specifically, we have a similar situation, dramatic fall in the caseload with reductions in child poverty and also a very sharp rise in work levels by disadvantaged mothers. However, there is a sense in which New York State has not reformed welfare in the sense that we do not have an agreement about what welfare reform should mean. In 1997, when the state implemented TANF, it declined to change two pillars of the old welfare system. One was the partial sanction, whereby if someone did not comply with the work test, that person was excluded from the grant, but the grant continued for the rest of the family. Also, aid was open-ended. Due to the safety net program, there really is no time limit in New York. And so in New York, we really have not changed the old system fundamentally. We have a more strenuous effort to put people to work, but we don't really enforce that through the two chief enforcers that were specified in federal law, namely the sanctions and the time limits. How to delegate, how to deal with work was delegated largely to the counties, and this was the step that allowed there to be a radical reform in New York City and also in some other counties. So New York, I think we can say, has stressed work, but without really enforcing work at the level seen in the rest of the country. So in Albany, there really was no key decision. It was very important, obviously, to have the Pataki administration do what they've done to promote reform. I think they've done as well as they can in the circumstances. But unlike other states, we do not have in New York an agreement at the center about how to reform welfare. And the key issue is really entitlement. Entitlement meaning the principle that in the past, people got aid simply because they were needy. New York was unwilling to give this up. There was, in fact, a reluctance to really require people to work as a condition of aid. That position was taken particularly by the Assembly. The other position was taken by the governor and the Senate. So the government in Albany is divided and still divided about the principal issue in welfare reform. Do we move from entitlement to employment as the basis for aid? Now, in my book on welfare reform in Wisconsin, I compared New York to 23 other states, including Wisconsin, in how well they had implemented TANF. This is based on case studies done by, at the Rockefeller Institute and also at the Urban Institute. I rated the states, these 24 states, by six criteria. Three of them had to do with policymaking, whether the state had made a consistent policy and whether they had funded it adequately. Administratively, the question was whether the bureaucrats were on board, whether they coordinated well, whether they had the capacity to do the job. And what you see here is New York ends up in the middle. The high-performing states are those that have what I call the good government tradition, particularly Wisconsin, but also Minnesota, Oregon. They did pretty much everything well. They had a decision about reform that was based on deliberation within the state, and they took a clear decision about what reform would mean, and they carried it out smoothly. At the other extreme, we have states with a small government tradition, chiefly in the South, where there was agreement about reform, but much less capacity to carry it out. And there were serious administrative problems in a number of those states, particularly Florida and Texas. New York is in the middle with a group of states that are mostly urban states in the East and Midwest. They have what I call a big government tradition. They're used to carrying out ambitious programs, but the political style is not as high-minded as we find in the good government states. And in these states, the administrative capacity is pretty good, more so than the South, but there is political disagreement about reform, and especially about the question of entitlement. All these states were divided over whether we could really shift welfare from a basis in entitlement towards employment. Now, the reauthorization of TANF has put some pressure on the state, it seems to me, to reconsider some of these issues. Under the original reform of 1996, states were supposed to have half their cases active in work activities by the year 2002. Now, the law didn't enforce this very well. Some escape hatches were allowed that allowed states essentially to substitute caseload fall for movement of cases into active status. And as a result, because of the large caseload fall, the bottom was knocked out of the work of these participation requirements. So the participation rate actually achieved nationally in 2002 was only about a third, well below the half that it was supposed to be achieved. Now, under reauthorization decided last spring, last February, the 50% norm is going to be enforced more strenuously than previously. And as we've also heard, the meaning of work is going to be somewhat more narrowly defined in the regulations. So the states are now going to face a real pressure to achieve the 50% norm by next year, by 2007, or face possible cuts in their federal funding. The other major change is the 50% norm applies to separate state programs like the 60-month safety net, as well as to the main caseload. So New York will now face pressure to bring not just TANF, but also safety net up to a 50% participation rate. That's going to be hard to do because of the partial sanctions, which allow a substantial share of the caseload to be really outside the work test. In New York City, about a third of the cases that might potentially be engaged in work are under sanctioned status or they are being sanctioned, and as a result, you cannot enforce the work test in those cases. And the time limit means as well that many cases that might come to terms with employment don't have to do so. So it seems to me that these features of state policy are likely to bring the state into on a collision course with the new federal requirements. Many might say, well, everything might be changed by the election because we may see Democrats in charge of Congress and they might well change the rules. I don't think that's very likely. Welfare reform is too successful for the fundamentals to be changed at this point. Details might be changed, but we're not likely to see anything like a return to the situation before reform. Well, what to do now? The best thing would be for New York to take the steps now, which they declined to take in 97, and that is really to abandon entitlement, to give up the idea that aid should be based simply on need. That means, in practice, giving up the partial sanction, moving to the full family sanction, as other states have done, and also phasing out safety net for family cases so that there is a time limit in New York. That's less important, I think, than the sanctions. These steps may well be necessary to meet the new requirements. If these major changes are impossible, there are also some lesser changes that the state might make that would still be useful. It's possible to speed up the processing of families that are involved in sanctions, so less time is wasted in going through that process and getting the families to make a fresh decision sooner about whether they're going to comply. It's also possible to improve documentation of cases that claim to be working, where it's unclear whether they're actually employed in the usual sense. Maybe we can, in other words, tighten up on what counts as work. And the other thing that's worth considering is reducing the very strong work incentives that New York State has now. It's possible in many cases for families to take a job, and yet because they are allowed to retain so many benefits at that point, they stay on the rolls. And that may not be constructive in the current situation. My general recommendation would be to replace entitlement with casework, and this is what Wisconsin has done, essentially. Rather than protect the entire caseload against having to work, which is the current policy, essentially the current policy allows any case to decide whether to work or not. That's really an optional question under the current policy. While many have gone to work, they really don't have to under these rules. Rather than that, what we should do is have a general work requirement that is serious, as in the rest of the country, but then do outreach to individual cases that can't handle the regular requirements. So you have a general obligation, but you also take some extra effort to deal with cases that are having trouble. In New York City, for example, they have what's called the We Care program, which is an attempt to process and evaluate cases with disabilities. That's a step in the right direction. In Wisconsin, they have a lower tier of their program. There are four tiers that you can be on in Wisconsin, depending on your employability. And at the bottom, they have a requirement where you don't have the same requirement as the fully employable, but you also don't get off entirely. You have some requirement alongside remediation programs of various kinds. And the TANF structure allows for this flexibility. It really isn't necessary to abandon the TANF program and abandon work requirements to achieve this level of flexibility. Even under reauthorization, the participation rate required is only 50%, and states are still allowed to exclude 20% of the caseload entirely from the work test. So that is, I think, the way to move forward. Another thing one can do is improve work programs. We are only now learning what the best way to organize welfare employment activities. And that is something where progress is always possible. And New York City has recently instituted something called the Back to Work program, which is an attempt to reform their work programs. Now, the chief concern that occurs in New York is that this will cause hardship. And there is a tradition among advocates for the recipients of seeing them as vulnerable, as hedged around with barriers, as possibly unable to work. And this is a tradition that goes back as long as there's been welfare reform. People talk about barriers preventing people to work. But experience has proven that the vast majority of recipients can, in fact, work, and they're better off and usually happier if they are working. So this is a view that we shouldn't now endorse, it seems, the view that the barriers define the situation of the recipients. New York still has, despite the recent caseload fall, New York still has an unusual percentage of its population on welfare. For the nation, it's about 1.7% of American citizens are now living on the TANF program. In New York, however, it's 2.5%. So we have more people involved in welfare than would appear to be necessary on an average basis. And that suggests the possibility for further reductions in the caseload and also increases in employment. Now, advocates will also say, and this issue has already risen this morning, that the best thing is to send recipients to school. They need to improve their skills to deal with a high-tech economy. All I can say is that research and experience do not support this. Work first is better, and I can go into that in more detail if you'd like. Another concern is that there's a constitutional commitment in New York to protecting the needy. Many take that to mean that there has to be an entitlement. I don't believe that's true. We have hard evidence that actually enforcing the work test is the best thing for families. That actually leads to greater increases in family income than not doing so. And that, therefore, should be our policy. And again, the way to prevent hardship is to have outreach to the cases you find this difficult. So my conclusion is that New York, in my phrase, must move beyond entitlement. When families are needy, the first thing they should do is not turn to the welfare system. Rather, they should go out and get a job. That's the first thing they should do. And then government should do the other things needed to make work employment, or to make employment possible for this family. And this involves various support services, help with employment, various other things. Government is willing and able to do a lot to help people once they are employed or willing to work and actively engaged in that enterprise. That changes everything. Then the whole business of helping people becomes more constructive. And to pick up on a point that EJ raised earlier, candidates in this election ought to be talking about these issues. They ought to be saying how they will address the new challenges that New York faces. And I think that really involves returning to the political arena here in Albany and getting a deeper agreement about the meaning of reform. What is welfare going to mean in New York after this election? The issue isn't over. The issue has really, New York has to return and address issues that it failed to address thoroughly about 10 years ago. I'd love to see New York leading welfare reform rather than lagging and being dragged into it. I'd like to see the Empire State out front and helping to reinvent a welfare system based on employment. That really should be our future, and I really hope that New York seizes the moment. Okay.